Around Comics, Episode 57.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the co-host of Around Comics, Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And, of course, we have our other co-host, the straw that stirs the drink, Mr. Tom Caters.
If you're the asshole in the green SUV who lives on my block, I know you splashed me with water this morning on purpose when I was walking to the train. I'm going to key your car, asshole.
There you go. Well, hopefully he listens. And our guest this week is one of the hosts of the Crankcast. He's also an employee at Devil's Due Publishing. He is Chris Crank.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. Gentlemen, welcome aboard. Thanks for making it out on a snowy Chicago evening. Winter has officially arrived in Chicago.
Make sure you have an ice scraper.
Yes.
Yes, before the morning that it starts to snow.
Do not sell your car with the ice scraper in it.
Did you have a moment of like panic when you did you look for it and then realize like, no, shit, I don't have an ice scraper?
I realized as I was walking out the door here that I didn't have an ice scraper. I'm like, I got to dig my car out still, man. I'm looking around for stuff that might substitute, old license plates, you know, a plate. Beer I don't know, you know, something. I just finally settled on like three pairs of gloves and bashing it. You know, like,
nice. All right, before we get too much farther here, I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
New selections from InStockTrades.com include Green Lantern, Revenge of the Green Lanterns, hardcover by Jeff Johns, Carlos Pacheco, Ethan Van Sciver, and Ivan Reyes. The regular price is $19.99, but InStockTrades has it for 35% off at just $12.99. Save $15 on the From Hell hardcover by Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell. It's 30% off, and you can pick it up for $35. The Ex Machina, Volume 4, March to War, trade paperback by Brian K. Vaughan, Tony Harris, Tom Feister, Chris Sprouse, and Carl Story is available for $8.44. And Punisher Max, Volume 6, Barracuda trade paperback by Garth Ennis and Goran Parlov is also 35% off at $10.39. Save up to 35% off on all trade paperbacks and hardcovers. And as always, shipping is free for orders of $50 or more. Buy your favorites now at InStockTrades.com.
You forgot to mention that Ex Machina is at a price that you can't say no to.
It is at a price that for $8.44. Could you say no to that, Tom?
No, I could not.
There you go.
So thank you to InStockTrades.com. Whenever you're not buying those trade paperbacks and collected editions from InStockTrades.com, you can drop into Dark Tower Comics. And Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. When you're here, remember to ask about Dark Tower's pull list membership. It's one of the best you'll find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, indie comics, and trades, as well as statues and action figures. Come to Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles for all your comics and collectibles needs.
Nice. I tell you what, I would have made it through the 90s without a pull box because I would have spent like at least 30% more.
Yeah, there you go. Without that.
I would have been even broker by the end of the 90s.
Walk in and don't look at anything. All right. Unless you come here, then walk in and look at everything. Mm-hmm. See, you like that? Oh, remember that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Each Thursday episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from Brian Bowles. Check it out every Monday at www.aroundcomics.com. They are often hilarious.
They're always hilarious.
Always touching.
And often hilarious.
So often hilarious.
After you check out Long Box of Love, hang around the site and fill out our listener survey. It lets us know who we're talking to and how we can make Around Comics a better show. It only takes a few minutes. Go to www.aroundcomics.com.
All right, that'll take care of our announcements. Let's move on to the main topic. Digital distribution is what we're talking about today. This is a topic that I think whenever we first started talking about doing the show last year, it was one of the top five discussions that we wanted to have on the show. And I'm really glad that we put off talking about it because now we actually have something to promote and talk about. So
it's taken a year to finally convince people to do stuff. I mean.
Sure. Well, digital distribution is one of the hot-button topics in the fast-paced, ever-changing world of comics and technology. Still in its infancy, digital distribution has, for the most part, been another word for comic book piracy. But things are changing. New options are becoming available to consumers to actually purchase comics in a digital format that may change the way that we read and buy comics. Now, Chris Crank is here in part to let us know more about a new venture he's a part of at Devil's Due Publishing. It's called PullBoxOnline.com. And it is an online store that sells digital versions of comics. So, Chris, I guess we should start with you. And why don't you tell us a little bit about PullBoxOnline.com.
Well, I could use a trendy catchphrase and say we're going to be the new iTunes of comic. But, I mean, it's not about that. It's not trying to – it is a sort of a similar business model where you sell individual issues at a reasonable price point. In this case, most of the issues are going to be 99 cents. It's not everything's 99 cents. A lot of that's based on what the basically what the retail value of the book would be. Mm-hmm. Price points include, like, you know, a double size issue would be $1.49. Trade type stuff that's like multiple, like 100 something pages or whatever, goes into the like the 3 something to the 4 something range, you know. But most everything, since most everything is 22 pages, is going to be around 99 cents.
Well, DDP is really heavy into licensed properties like, you know, Family Guy and, you know, it was, you know, G.I. Joe and all that. So
right.
Does that work? Does Devil's Due offer their entire catalog online?
Well, not yet. I mean, the licensed stuff is taking a little bit longer just because there's a lot more paperwork involved. Mm-hmm, you know, sure. Anything that we can deal with, like, directly with a creator or, like, our own in-house properties just happens a lot faster because it can, you know. I mean, when you can talk to somebody one on one, and
you just have to yell. You just have to yell over the cubicle. Can we do this?
Hey, yeah. No, I mean, like, well, for instance, we're also working with IDW Comics, Jim Mahfood, Tim Seeley at Outside of Devil's Due, you know, mm-hmm. We had something else. What the heck was it? Oh, Family Guy. We actually did get through pretty mm-hmm. fast. So Family Guy's up there, and those were all relatively easy. Oh, Voltron was another one because we had a really easy relationship with the license holder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so stuff like that's just really easy to get through. And we'll eventually be adding the other stuff, but, you know.
Well, you guys are basically in the soft launch phase of this as we're recording. But so far, what's the reaction been? I know that you haven't done the big PR drive for it yet.
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, we have had, like, a couple of individual people write to us or notify us that, hey, this is pretty cool. We know, I dig it. I downloaded some stuff and it's neat. Our soft launch consisted of pretty much just putting it live and sending an email out to our current print store customers. So I wasn't expecting much of anything out of that. I mean, we did get just like a couple dozen orders probably, but considering we were marketing to the print people, mm-hmm. like that buy our stuff every month or have subscriptions or whatever, I was happy with it. You know, I'm curious to see what happens once the press release goes out and we go live.
Sure.
I think it'll be fun. I mean, to backtrack a minute, I mean, this isn't really anything new. People have been trying online stuff, distribution stuff, for several years. I mean, going back to, like, CrossGen and stuff with their, you know, comics on the web and things like that. The problem I always found with those was that they locked you into some weird Flash Player format that, like, kind of you had to go at a certain pace, like whatever the Flash Player's pace was. I got to quit saying Flash Player. Can I just Flash say player? FP or something?
FP. Sure.
From this point on, it will be
Shockwave.
Shockwave.
Computer Player.
Liquid Player.
Was that something to do with, like, trying to keep it a proprietary thing where you couldn't transfer it to other people or
Well, yeah, I think it was. I mean, it has a lot to do with – I mean, because we're struggling with DRM questions and things now, even now with MP3s and, you know, stuff like that. But we struggle with that question with these, and I think it probably did have something to do with let's keep the customer coming back by locking them into something, which mm-hmm. is a bad idea.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm standing on that.
Well, then,
it's a personal thing.
You want to make sure that you have all of the pie. You don't want to be able to split it up, and that's
right.
You know,
well,
always,
the problem is it got in the way of the user experience. I mean, anytime somebody adopts something digital, they expect to use it as nearly as they to the original source that they can. You know, which is why you expect to be able to just take your comic and read it at your own pace. If you mm-hmm. want to see the full page, if you want to zoom up on a page, if you want to do something, if you want to turn a page, it doesn't take 5 seconds for a page turn effect.
Now Pullbox yeah. Online is offering
and the sound effect.
Yeah,
Pullbox
yeah.
Online is offering it as PDF files and also CBR CBR files.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the main things when I first proposed this idea, which was like I said a long time ago, but was that we. CBR and CBZs, whatever, but you know, either one of those formats are pretty much become the de facto standard for the people that are actually reading this stuff.
Right.
You know, why reinvent the wheel? I guess you know.
There's
so
already applications out there that you can get to.
Lots for both yeah. both
you didn't
plat-
have to
both major platforms.
A reader.
Yeah. Right. No readers had to be developed. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that. I mean, the stuff, the infrastructure for that was already in place, and people are used to dealing with these. And if it offers a nice benefit of also being able to just extract the images out of there, you know, if you want to print them out and. Read them on the train on the way to work.
Any concern as to, you know, now you're sort of giving people another option to, you know, really keep moving that product around the internet? I mean,
there's a couple of points to that. I mean, one, as long as we print it, we give people the option of moving it around the internet because there's no DRM on a book.
You know, right.
You can't. There's just no way to stop it, and this stuff's already out there anyway. In fact, I've downloaded some of our stuff. I'm checking QC here. Because,
well, we were talking briefly before the show. I became a Pullbox Online registered user this week, and I finally got the chance to download Hackslash, which I had not read. And I've heard great stuff about it, and it's got a movie deal now coming up. And, yeah. You know, and Tim's a great guy, so I wanted to read the book. I couldn't find it. And, you know, you said that you had seen some online, you know, illegally distributed versions of it, and the quality was bad because in the printing of it, it printed fairly dark, and whenever it scanned it, it got even darker. Where now
it was fairly muddy. I mean, yeah. Like the version that's been floating around, you know, part of the thing with coming from a distributor is just that there's a certain level of quality control involved that mm-hmm. no matter how well intentioned the scanner might be. They can't quite overcome the fact that there's certain limitations imposed by it being printed.
Sure.
You know, more patterns, things like that, you know.
You have no control.
Did I say that right?
More.
You know, but this is coming from directly from the original art files.
Right. So we're coming straight from our digitals.
Pristine.
I mean, you know, eventually I'd like to see it so that as soon as they come in, because generally when colorists color stuff, it's in RGB, and they send it to you. Mm-hmm. And you have to convert it over CMYK to get it to print, you know, which changes the color spectrum a bit and stuff like that. Eventually I'd like to see it so that as soon as we get the RGBs in, you know, we can make these digital versions without having to do the CMYK back to RGB conversion. But, yeah, there's a certain level of quality control involved. I mean, you're getting the straight digital files, so you don't have to worry about any kind of degradation in, you know, print and scanning. Another thing is, like, most of the files have been corrected again, like since they've been in print, to go into a trade or something like that, you know. So the quality, I think, is one of the things that's kind of nicer. As far as opening it up to other forms of, like, piracy, I guess. I hate to call these people pirates.
The genie's out of the bottle, like, you know, anyway, I think, at that point.
I can't fault these guys for scanning stuff and spreading it around. In fact, some of the stuff you're never going to get any other way, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, who the hell's got – how many copies of, you know – a comic book from 1971 are floating around these days.
Well, Tom's got five. No. But that's certainly the point. I mean, I think it's that line that, you know, publishers and distributors keep, you know, trying to figure out if it's the right way to go. And I think that's why we've seen such a limited, you know, source of this kind of thing. And I'm just sort of wondering what was it that sort of got you guys over the hump to finally go, you know what, it's not going to change.
Well, I took Josh in the back and beat him with a rubber hose.
Beat him with the computer.
I kept talking about it in a reasonable voice. And that there have been studies. You can find a lot of information about this on the web. But there have been a lot of studies of e-books, you know, DRM e-books versus non-DRM e-books.
Mm-hmm.
Non-DRM e-books actually sell better, you know, and despite the fact that, you know, you could print them out, you could redistribute them or whatever, they still tend to sell better because you're not interfering with how somebody wants to use something. Again, I'll bring it up. Like, if you want to print it out in the morning and read it on the way to work on the train or mm-hmm. something, you don't want a big watermark splashed across it. You don't want to not be able to do it at all, you know.
Right.
If your computer goes belly up but you're able to recover your data from your hard drive, you don't want to not be able to read your stuff because it's on a different computer,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, which is – I mean, A-Track was a for MP3s was a – or music stuff, you know. Sony's DRM mm-hmm. format was – a nightmare for that a lot of people.
You want to be able to know you can use it. You know, you don't want to be
right.
like
– you don't want it locked in.
Be like, oh, shit, I don't have this.
You kind of got to
use it.
And another thing is, I mean, if you look at the community of traders anyway, whether the cynical says it's lip service or not, I mean, 9 times out of 10, there's going to be a tag in there that says, if you like it, buy it.
Right.
Because the point is that if these people don't make a living off of what they're doing, they're not going to be able to do it anymore. You're not going to have any more comics to steal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if so it's, you know, it becomes sort of a, not a morality issue, but sort of a, hey, let's go ahead and give back
support,
what we're getting.
Support. I think a lot of people look at it with the music industry. You know, I see a very, very much mirrored to piracy of music in the, you know, 90s. That was, you know, whenever you saw, you know, music
way
piracy. And, well, and it still goes on to, you know, to this day, you know, and there are a lot of people.
But you've seen a successful, I mean, with iTunes, you've seen, you know, obviously a successful business model where
give people the option.
My only question is, when will these computers be available?
Well, that does bring up one interesting thing is, you know, as we see more and more readers coming out, you know, Sony has just launched their new e-book
the
reader.
Color one. Yeah. I mean, they've had the black and white one out for about a year and a half or so. And that was really nice looking. It produced really crisp images. It was kind of like reading newsprint.
Right. And the color one looks great. The only problem with this is you can only read the books that are offered through the Sony website. And
which, again, going back to, I guess, a form of piracy, I mean, that's going to be no problem for somebody to hack the software.
Sooner or later, yeah. I mean, if people want it, they're going to be able to get it. But I think we're going to see more and more of that type of thing. And as they become more common and cheap and easily accessible, I think you're going to see more and more distributors
sort of
and publishers. Size, yeah.
Paperback size or book size, like, you know, digital devices that let you do this.
And it's I mean, we all and we've talked about it for years now, where everybody knows it's coming. I think it's just a matter of when and how. And I think with the smaller publishers, you're certainly – there's less risk involved to some degree because
– Well, it depends on how you take it. I mean, honestly, there's less risk for – I don't know if there's less risk, but I would say just thinking about it, there's probably less risk for the big two because they can afford to lose 1,000 people not buying their books.
I think what I was thinking is that, you know, with – the way the direct market is and the way that Diamonds exists and Previews exists and the amount of books that are out now, the real, you know, it's more of an advantage for smaller publishers to get their books in front of people through any way possible than Marvel or DC. Marvel and DC don't have to do that.
One of the things I see is that, especially with online ordering of paper comics, that there's a serious pinch going on with local comic shops. And I think everyone is starting to come to the realization that a lot of local comic shops are going to be going away or having to really diversify. If you diversify, then you're not going to be able to carry the amount of books that you have on your shelves. And what are the first books that are going to be taken off your shelves? Your lower selling independent comics. So digital distribution is probably going to be the only way that a lot of independent or smaller publishing companies are going to be able to get their comics in front of people. And, I mean, that is just going to be a reality of the industry.
Well, and another way to look at that, too, is the system's not in place yet, but say we get something together where whoever's selling these things actually reports numbers, like what amounts of what new books or whatever are being sold. One of the things I brought up when I was discussing, like proposing this project, was that basically, the digital downloads become a vehicle to promote, you know, collection sales, trades, and things like that. Collected books and that. And, you know, if a retailer's sitting there and has at his fingertips a way to look at what individual issues did and what things are doing well and what things aren't doing well, from a digital standpoint, then they can better gauge what trades to buy. You know, which is probably the way I see it coming. I don't see the death of the paper. I just see it. You know, the paper is going to become more and more of collected books.
You'll have a more responsive ability to see what's good and what's bad. I mean, you look at the, you know, whatever numbers we have are from what people ordered from 2 months ago, you know, and that's...
Right, we don't see anything at a consumer level.
Right.
Yeah.
But through this system, you would know exactly what people are purchasing.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
And I never thought about that. That's a great point, that it could be really a useful tool for retailers to know what type of, you know...
Because, I mean, aside from digital stuff, I mean, one of the things I've been bitching about for years is that, you know, none of the numbers we ever see are, like, we don't have the music industry's ability to gauge, like, store sales.
Or even books, you know, regular novel, you know, literature and that kind of thing. You have no idea what is really being sold. How many books are, you know, coming into a shop and then, you know, sitting on a shelf.
You can sort of selectively pull retailers you know or have a relationship with and say, well, how's this doing for you? But, I mean, that kind of regional thing is... you know, I mean, it's iffy at best to get a good number out
of it. Well, you get books. You get the highest selling books are, of course, the most hyped books, which doesn't always translate to the most selling or the most.
And you can guarantee, like, a new issue of Green Arrow, you know, is going to sell better than a new issue of, I don't know, you know.
Hackslash.
Probably. Yeah.
Zombies, I mean, just because
it's Green Arrow, B, it's DC.
It's everywhere.
So, I mean, of course that's going to sell better at a retailer level. Who knows how many of those go off the shelf?
Mm-hmm. I think it's also interesting because it's, I think, just like with music, it's sort of people have taken upon themselves almost to show the companies the business model they're going to have to use at some point. As you start to see the music companies, the big labels are having to deal with the fact that the model of how they existed before doesn't work.
Well,
I think at some point DC and Marvel are going to have to perhaps deal with the fact that, you know, issue prices will go up again. They'll keep going up, you know. And that's
they're not
going
to go down.
They're not
going to,
Hi, I'm Matt Fraction, and this is Around Comics, and it's a podcast that you listen to on your pod, and it's casted to your pod, and you can listen to it, and it's sweet. And I love it, and I love you.
I was looking at the thread in the forum that you guys started, and one guy was very vehement about the fact that, you know, digital things are always overpriced. And he was very much talking about, you know, like, you can't say it's, you know, for the paper or whatever like that anymore, and I mean, because paper is going to go up, you know, things like that.
Sure.
That's why we always have price increases for that. I mean, but not only that, I mean, creators' costs always go up because there is a cost of living increase every year.
Advertising, marketing.
No, I mean, if you didn't get a raise, you know, I mean, what we pay them not going up is, you know, the equivalent of a wage guy never getting a raise.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And so, I mean, costs
your
are things like that.
Your overhead costs. You for the most, I mean, you're a very, very talented artist and you do covers, but you know, you work at Devil's Due Publishing, but your primary responsibilities there are not on the creator side.
No, I mean, I'm making a wage, and you know, it's like, you know, I need to keep making more money because things cost me more money.
Right? Shark skin suits, and gold canes,
which is what I'm saying about, you know, as far as like digital things go. I mean, the prices people charge for things are still going to take those things into account. You know, they're never just going to be like, oh, well, we're not printing on paper anymore, so we're going to charge 50 cents for
something. I think whenever you look at the piracy side of it, that a lot of people probably try and validate it by saying, well, you know, it's nothing I can touch, so I'm not doing anything wrong because there's nothing tangibly there that I'm stealing.
Well, it's like even with a CD or a DVD, I mean, you're not paying for the – when you're paying the extra price for stuff, you're not just paying for the material.
The production
you know,
of it.
You're still also paying for the
– creation.
The stuff itself, you know, the intangible music, the thing, you know. That's like – I mean, that's why –
it has
why
to have a value.
I mean, paper is a delivery method, just like – digital would be.
Still cost involves regardless of if you're printing it or not.
But I also think
the cost of producing it, the cost of marketing it, the cost, you know, all those things cost money. So at some point,
it has to
be reflected into the cost of the product. And in the end, any company is there to make money.
I mean, I can't throw out exact numbers, but you figure, you know, a penciler on a book for a moderate to large company is going to make anywhere between, you know, $100 and $250 for a page, you know, depending on who the company is and who the penciler is. You know, so I mean, even at a minimum, saying like 125 or something like that for a page, that's 22 times 125. I mean, that's that much money that's going out just in the creation of the art alone.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the inker, the colorist, the, you know, the assembly, the letterer.
I happen to run across this article in Wired magazine. It was written in May of 2006, and it's by Mark McCluskey is the writer. It was in Wired magazine. Talks about digital distribution and how Marvel and DC are losing out on.
Oh, I think
the money
I read that
could,
actually. Yeah.
I just want to. He said, you know, what's the holdup? I asked representatives at both Marvel and DC. Their answer: no comment, no condemnation of piracy, no acknowledgement of what's happening, no tip of the hat to the vigorous world of independent online comics. Nothing. Here's why that's so strange. In 2004, Marvel had net sales of $513 million. Of that, only 16% came from comics. The rest was from licensing characters for movies, TV, and toys. In other words, comic books, the actual printed artifacts, have become little more than marketing materials. Scary as that might be for fans, the publishers must have realized it, but it begs the question of why those publishers aren't embracing digital distribution when it could be free and easy evangelizing for the next summer blockbuster.
Free marketing.
It is, but, and we talked about
it's not free if somebody's paying for it.
Well, in the scope of $530 million to offer comics digitally, is next to nothing.
I think it's also interesting to think about in the sense that if digital distribution's hurting them so much that, you know, Marvel and DC have been selling more books. I mean, if people were so quick to abandon it, it's always the knee-jerk reaction to be like, all people will stop reading paper comics because they can get it for free. But I don't think that's necessary.
Well,
true.
I think that's part of it. I think part of it is, you know, this article and the writer is saying that, you know, digital comics, they should be using comics as sort of the research and development for other products, the movies and TV and licensing things, because that's where the real money is. And that's understandable, but, you know, Chris and I were talking about this earlier, is that at some point that's going to die off a bit. You know, you have a huge surge of movies right now, and
people
and
the are going to get tired of superhero movies.
And at some point the comics are going to be a larger part of it. But at the same time, and this goes way back to a conversation I had with an artist.
Jack Kirby.
No. A small independent...
Dan Burton.
A small independent comic book artist who's really trying to break in. I'm not going to mention the name, but anyway, you know, I was talking to him about, you know, his comic, and, you know, he's sitting there, he's done the work on like 4 or 5 issues of this book, and he was having a hard time selling it. You know, he's trying to get it out to people.
Sure.
And he wasn't making any money even on the books that he's selling, because the printing costs at the runs, the small runs that he's doing is so costly. It really, you know, you're breaking even if you're lucky on that kind of thing. And I said, well, why aren't you just giving them, why aren't you just sending them online, putting them in a PDF, and giving them to everyone you possibly can? I mean, the point of doing this comic, yes, you're trying to create something, but isn't it exposure? Isn't it trying to get your name and your art out there? Why wouldn't you just give it to everyone you possibly could?
Yes and no. It depends on if you've got a decent day job that you can afford to spend the extra, like, 20 hours a day that you're going to have to spend besides the 8 hours. That's 28 hours, by the way. Besides the 8 hours a day you have to spend
Mars
at your job.
Day. Yeah. If you live on Mars and you have 28 hours a day.
I mean, sure. If you can turn out – I mean, if you can spend 4 hours a night and put out a comic, like, once every other month or something like that, and you don't mind not making anything for that 4 hours a day, you know.
Athena Voltaire. That's an example, Steve Bryan.
Well,
if you can get away with that, sure. But a lot of these people are trying to do this for a living.
They did basically a trade in 4 years, though.
But really, I mean, realistically, making a living at a self-published book is, you know...
Most time, especially with print costs, you're lucky to break even.
Well, that's what I mean. Your odds in making money are probably better if you buy a lotto ticket.
And if you're going to break even anyway... But then there's still always that thing where, well, what if? What if I have another Walking Dead? What if I have another
Mouse Guard?
Mouse Guard is a great example.
Mouse Guard is a great example. That book's in, like, its 1 billion printings or something, 9,000 printings in the first issue. Well, it certainly happens.
They're all like 20.
But how many independent books out there go nowhere? And you know what I mean? That doesn't mean there isn't talented people working on them. It's just for whatever reason there's so much, you know.
And luck and placing and everything else involved.
Now you're
Indie creator, you know, she decided to just, well, screw it. I'm just going to put my book online. You know, I'm still going to sell trades.
Right.
But I'm just going to put my monthlies online and see how that does, because, you know, she was breaking even on them or whatever anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not, you know?
Well, I think your chances for getting exposure are going to be greater on the internet, because they're available to everyone. And with as many message boards and forums and podcasts and all that stuff, I think that it's a lot easier to get more national or even, you know, international exposure.
Local.
Because you don't have to stumble upon it at an artist alley table at a con that someone may stop at.
Next, the guy is dressed like a pirate.
But one thing to consider as well, the difference here is that, and this will change as, like, I guess prominent online distributors, like distributor hubs, become more popular, mm-hmm. is that if you're printing a comic, even if it gets, like, 2,000, 3,000 books, whatever, you know, whatever that break-even point is for whoever's making it, that's, you know, that many copies that are floating around in the real world that people can just stumble across, you know? Online, if you're putting it up by yourself, just on your website, I'm Joe Nobody that's got this website and I put up a comic, you're relying only on word of mouth, period. There's no browsing sales there. You know, maybe somebody might come across your comic.
True.
You know?
I think there's an interesting thing, though, that's happening now that when the internet first started with comic books and I first started sort of paying attention to stuff on the internet, is I see way more stuff, or at least I'm paying way more attention to lots of little stuff, or whenever someone says something, I'm much more open to clicking on a link that if someone sends it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because the industry is in this really weird phase right now where there's all these people who want to break into pretty much an industry that's dominated by two huge companies. And they're trying to carve their little niche out, and everyone's scrambling to figure out you know, what's the sharpest knife to cut into this? Where am I going to go with that? So we're going to see a lot of things. I think we're going to see people trying lots of stuff to try and get.
Well, I think, you know, you say dominated by two companies, and one thinks Marvel DC. But I think it goes beyond that. I think that it's a market that is dominated by one company, and that's the main distribution bottleneck.
Diamond,
it's dominated by Diamond. So if you were the CEO of Diamond, would you be right now proactively looking at Diamond online distributors as
you could never do it? I don't think Diamond could do it. Their entire customer base is the direct market LCS, mm-hmm. and if you all of a sudden
undercut that?
Oh, God. I mean,
where else are they going to go?
But are they undercutting it? I mean, and this,
they could
this
go
regarding
somewhere
Diamond,
else.
Which okay. I think part of the point for, especially for smaller companies and things like that, skipping Diamond altogether is such a great idea, you know, because there's nobody else cutting.
I think it's becoming more feasible.
With the online distribution, mm-hmm. is that you don't have, besides the print cost, you don't have the distribution cost, that cut that the distributor takes, you know, before it ever gets to a retailer or whatever.
Right.
Well, kind of what I was getting at is that right now there is no centralized distribution for online distribution. There's not an iTunes music store for comic books.
Well, even with music distribution, I mean, you still have more than iTunes. iTunes is just what everybody knows, right? For the most part, I mean, you've got eMusic, you've got the Napster failed, but you've got several different stores that are offering the stuff. And I think you're going to see a shakedown of that with the comics online distribution. I mean, you're going to see it doesn't make a lot of sense, for one thing. I mean, it makes more sense for everybody to get together in one place.
Sure, absolutely.
And
who's going to let that
at least
happen?
This early in the game. It does,
well, that's just
that.
I mean,
that's why Marvel and
DC, I mean, they're never going to let go of that because they figure they can do it themselves and make more money at it. Why pay someone else to do?
Because there's a difference between, you know, having an administrative infrastructure already set up and doing it all yourself.
Well, you know, you
yeah,
say,
but
you,
they've never learned from that before.
You
I mean,
say something like
they,
you say something
but they
like,
distribute through Diamond, though, don't they?
But this...
I mean, they do learn. I mean, in Marvel...
I'm seeing a great entrepreneurial opportunity here.
Well, would we have iTunes without Napster? I mean, that's the idea. If someone comes along and creates something that forces someone to be like, we have to...
I don't think they would. I can't say. I don't know. I don't know what DC's plans are or anything, but I doubt that they would have ever just made that move without there being some sort of obvious sign that this is something that's
going to happen.
That can be feasible, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's... Because I remember... I'm going to ramble for a second here, but...
That's all right.
I remember like 4 years ago, you know, you found comics online, but not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've been finding comics online.
You had to dig.
But the fact that you could BitTorrent and then find several trackers that were devoted to comics now mm-hmm. in the past 3 years
mm-hmm.
Really makes finding comics easier in that aspect, you know? So you do have central hubs. You have locations of things like that. What we need to do now is move that into a way that actually makes the people
pay for
comics...
It.
Well, it makes the people making comics money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we're looking at. And I mean, you've seen a bunch of things start up recently. You've got a – I'm an idiot for even doing this. But you got like Drive-Thru Comics. I'm talking about like competition, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, but in all seriousness, I mean, everybody's got different stuff. And so far, everybody's got different material. But you got DriveThruComics.com. You've got –
Wow, which
Newsarama apparently is throwing their weight behind.
Yeah, and that's what it's a lot of Alias and a few Moonstone titles I saw.
Yeah, that was it. That was the other one. I was trying to remember. It was Alias, Moonstone, and I thought there was a third company, but I can't remember what it was.
Probably is. I just noticed it was.
Yeah,
it was
you're
dominated
right. I can't
by
remember.
Alias.
I remember like and now,
good for Moonstone. I'm happy that they're doing that.
By the time this airs, you'll have us, you know, and the pullboxonline.com. And
very
the best.
Very
don't
easy,
forget to mention yourself.
Very easy and satisfying consumer experience. By the way, I had no problem registering, downloading, and it was the quality of the download was awesome, and I enjoyed it. And go download or buy Hackslash. It was great.
I'll just tell you to give it to me.
I'll email it to you.
I mean, this early in the game, I have no idea who's going to win out. But there is going to be just a handful of people that are going to be main hubs, and a lot of it depends on who goes with what and what contracts are signed.
Well, you had said you have IDW now is coming on.
Yeah, we're working with IDW.
So
and
you're going to have IDW books on there. That's interesting that, while you guys are with DDP and the majority of the books right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Pullbox Online is
Pullbox is not DDP. I mean,
okay.
Pullbox is a separate entity thing. You know, like it's not to just publish our own stuff. You know?
Right.
I mean, it's to
which is smart.
Kind of set up a place to publish other. Like, not public. It's not even publishing.
See you guys
it's
get with Ross Ritchie and have like Boom titles there. I mean, that. Would
I mean, we are in talks. We're in talks with a lot of people. We just things take a while when you're trying to convince people to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That especially you know, even if like it's in their own good, it still takes a while. But yeah, something like that. That's like kind of like, well, what do we have online?
People,
I mean, what?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people get into it and. That's not what they got into comics. You know, everyone gets into it like, I'm going to have a book at the end. So I think on some level people have a guttural reaction.
Well, I think the natural inclination is just initially to be afraid of it because it's, you know, it's the same thing with the music industry. It's like, you know, they don't know what's going to happen exactly.
It takes a little thing to, like, show people that it can be done and be done in a profitable manner, which is what boils down to a lot of people.
Right.
I mean, especially when you're dealing with companies, not just single creators or anything like that. If you're dealing with a company that's got a group of things and you're like, well, I want to know that I'm going to make some money off of this.
Yeah, I mean,
or
that's
else
the whole
it's not
point.
Worth me doing it. You
right.
know? And the business model right now is really helpful because, I mean, everything you're looking at has been printed already. So it's made some money. I have no idea
little,
what the business
model is. You have a little leeway there. So.
Yeah, like for somebody that's publishing something straight to digital, I have no idea what the business model is going to be at that point. Like how it's going to work out as far as profit versus loss. You know?
Well,
you still have to make enough to cover your creative costs.
Well, I think what's interesting, I don't know, I guess you see this in other businesses, but here we have an example where the two you know largest companies in the industry are probably the most gun-shy to do anything different. And you see,
but that makes sense.
Well, sure, and I can understand that, but you see the smaller independent publishers that are a little bit more agile, a little bit more, you know, they're in it to take risks anyway. Yeah. And if they weren't, they, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't start a fucking comic book company if
I'm
going to make
$1 million. Josh wouldn't have started DDP if he wasn't a risk taker.
Right. And generally with smaller companies, you don't have a, you know, a 20-person committee that has to decide on something and then pass it along to another committee that's a legal department that has to pass it on.
Yeah,
to
I mean, imagine Marvel Comics all of a sudden trying to. I mean, they do. They have their digital comics. They do it through their own site.
Right.
And it's a bit of a different
situation.
But I guarantee they had to talk to legal and say, well, does this interfere with our deal with Verizon for wallpapers?
Right.
For their phones?
They had to deal, you know, with Marvel Entertainment and the movie industry. And I mean, everything else. I mean, there's so many things involved. It's a huge, complex thing where...
I mean, where I see it is essentially a... It's the same thing as print distribution because it's the same format, same layout, same everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a digital extension of print distribution. A legal department's going to see that as being all of a sudden electronic media.
Right.
Or something, you know, so... whether or not it's interactive or moving or doing anything, they're still going to see that as electronic media. So, you know, you have holdups.
So before we do this, we have to kill the lawyers kind of approach to it?
No, you just have to work through them. I mean, that's the thing. It's you have to convince people that this is what it is. You know, it's not wallpapers for digital phones. It's not movies. It's not flash commercials. It's not cartoons. It's not – this is print media transferred directly into, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it is an exciting time to be, you know – talking about this and seeing where this is going. I mean, in the next 5-10 years, we're going to see this industry get turned upside down because of this. And
well, in the next 5-10 years, in 10 years, like people are going to be going like, well, no, of course we're doing digital. You know?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What? People didn't have it on their computers?
Because we're all floating in our hover cars.
They promised us hover cars.
Well, tell you what.
I've been promised a fucking hover car. And I want one.
I would ask you to tell your friends about the Around Comics podcast, but let's face it, your friends are a little bit on the two-dimensional side, aren't they?
All right, well, let's move away from hover car discussion and move on to some forum posts.
Fuck you. I'm on an all hover car episode.
I want my hoverboard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm on a hover dog.
I've been wanting one of those ever since Back to the Future. But all right, our first forum post is from Blue Meanie. He goes, here's how I think it'll work in the future.
Future.
In the future.
Says Marvel, for example, will announce a new 6-part Ultimate Spider-Man arc. You'll log into their site and pre-order the trade, which you will be sent when it gets released in 6 months' time. You have two options. You can pay a reduced price for the for pre-ordering, or you can pay the full trade price, but then you will also be sent each issue digitally as it is released to the stands. That way you get to read it hot off the press, and you also get your trade without having to buy it twice. Many people are doing this themselves anyway, so I imagine it's the way that companies can get it or get into the game.
That makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, I think a lot of people would be onto that. The only thing about it is, you know, you're already able to buy trades through, you know, like Amazon and in-stock trades for 35-40% off as it is. So what
but
kind
you
of
can't
discount
read it
are you
until the trade comes out?
Well, that's true enough. You had a great point
today. We were talking about it, and that's the thing. It's all about.
Hey Sal, you had an awesome
high five, Tom. High five.
Well, it's all about incentive. You have to have some sort of incentive for buying a digital version. iTunes does it with free music videos that come with the download if you buy like the whole album or whatever. With comics, I think probably the biggest incentive that you can give is
getting it early, a week before it comes.
I mean, honestly, that's the biggest incentive with music is that you get it right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get it right now without having to go out in the snow and scrape off the ice, off your car.
I can find out what happens in Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly right now. I don't need to wait for the.
Well,
the thing about it, exactly.
That's what I did.
It's a great idea, and it doesn't
kill the in-store sales for so many reasons because people still are, you're walking through Best Buy and you see a CD for $10.99 or $9.99, and you're still going to pick it up because you're there for something else. And we were talking about that too. Is that, I think the biggest problem that all this is going to cause is for the small, retailers, for LCS, is because, a company like Best Buy can get away with it because they're buying in bulk.
And they're diversified.
And you can buy a refrigerator there. So I might be going and, looking for my refrigerator,
You're talking about the non-chain, LCSs, right?
Yeah,
like, sure. The not Graham Crackers, the not...
Dark Tower.
What's a Texas chain that's huge?
We're talking about this small business over right now.
Single-owned proprietorships, basically.
So what I'm trying to say is that, in probably 3 years' time, we'll be recording from, Porter's books.
No. We're trying to dick over our shop.
It's an issue, I think, that is going to happen. But I think all these things where you can get it earlier, you can get a discount. Those are going to come into play.
And I'm going to use the music
analogy.
Because it's the closest thing.
Think of an issue of a comic as being a single track on a CD. I buy a lot of 99-cent songs on iTunes before I'll go physically to a store and buy the actual CD. And I think that a lot of people will buy individual issues before they'll go and buy the traded collection.
Well, and the great thing about that was it sort of changed, and Tom, I think you were kind of talking about this earlier, was it changed the business model of the music industry because you could no longer put out an album with one or two good or catchy songs and then 12, really awful ones.
Oh, no, they still do.
Well, they still do, but they're not nearly as successful as they once were because people can, go and get, the one or two songs that they like. And, preview the other ones and, if I don't like it, I don't get it. But
now, on the flip side of that, though, you got to look at going back to, independent comic publishers again. And I don't know – this is also new. I don't know how things are working for the different business ventures that are out there right now. But, with iTunes, a single artist just can't jump on iTunes and sell their stuff.
That's true.
You have to be with a label that's selling – because iTunes doesn't want to mess with Penny Ante, one-person stuff, administratively. And that's the thing about – while this is a good idea about buying the single issues and then getting – it's basically like a subscription service. You buy the single issues and you get this trade at the end for having spent the money on it. But administratively, that's a nightmare.
Yeah,
keeping track of this, and then at the end of this time, when the certain time flag comes up, and we got to ship all these things.
We got to ship all these trades now, and we've already discounted them. And
right, a lot of it's got to be administrative stuff, which is, like I said, going back to why iTunes doesn't deal with anything but labels that have multiple things.
Well, I think first of all, I thought you were going to say independent cobbler for a second. Which I thought was
as opposed to the big chain cobbler.
Yeah, I prefer my cobbler independent, frankly. Yes,
my independent cobbler, which made me laugh really hard. And second of all,
inside,
it made me laugh inside. From right. Vince B, and this is confrontational, so I'll read it in that sense. Like it or not, digital distro. I like that. Is the method that will eventually sustain the comics industry. What is the most costly part of the comics production process? Printing. GREATLY reducing open paren with a goal of eventually eliminating closed paren print runs will in turn greatly affect the cost of page 2 production, hopefully translating to lower quote-unquote cover prices, open paren $1 to $2, Seems reasonable, close parent. If comics were more affordable and a much larger percentage of kids in America would take a chance on them. $3 is a lot for a kid to pay for a potentially shitty read. Yeah. A buck a copy would make it well worth the risk. Why were comics so popular with kids from the early days of the comics industry to the early 80s? Because they were relatively cheap in comparison to other forms of entertainment.
Were they? Because I remember when movies were like $5 to get into, you know?
Yeah, but you were buying comics for 75 cents a piece.
Right. But I'm saying now movies are, what, $10 to get into and I'm paying $3?
And, yeah, okay,
I'm paying $25.
Good point. All right, yeah, it's definitely a different thing. Yeah.
Shake hands with reality, he says. He's not such a bad guy.
You know, and Vince has some great points. It's,
but he is sticky.
You can't get in the way of progress and technology, and they just, you know, the bigger publishers just going to have to come to grips with the fact that it's going to happen.
But going back to something that was mentioned earlier was that, you know, Marvel's, it's not the comics that are sustaining the comics industry. I mean, especially with the big two, it's their licensing,
right?
You know, and that's. The dream of licensing is pretty much what like spurs a lot of people on, even smaller publishers, you know? I mean, is that you will get that movie deal, you will get that toy deal, you will get that, you know, Saturday morning cartoon, you know? Honestly, those are what sustain the comic industry for the most part.
The big portion
sure. of it, you know?
Comics are killing comics.
No, it's not that comics are killing comics, but comics...
Comic crime. Suicide.
Comics have been sustained through their bad periods by being able to be... merchandise.
Right.
We are all in one huge suicide pact. We're all driving this car 100 miles an hour.
The next post is from Bam. Bam said, the future of digital distribution aside, now that DC has released first issues of a number of Vertigo series free online, I spend my lunch hour at my desk reading comics off my computer screen. As a result, I'm going to start picking up the DMZ and Exterminators trades when I can stretch my budget. And possibly start buying the titles monthly if they're still good once I've caught up. So as a marketing tool, it already works. I really like going to my LCS on Wednesdays on my way home from work. I like the glazed over look in everyone's eyes as we stare at the wall and walk into each other. When it comes down to it, content is certainly the most important part of comics. But there's also an experiential aspect that I'd miss if I were simply logging in every Wednesday and downloading to a backup drive, and I'm just not tech savvy enough to begin with.
So I think what Bam was getting at is that because it was two different thoughts. It was like it's good and it's working, but there's still a fear factor.
You know, I applaud the buying of Exterminators.
Yes. By the way. You know, whenever this subject comes up, it's like, oh well, it's, you know, the death of paper, you know, and that's never going to happen. I mean, paper products are, you know, books, comics,
if
they're going to be out there.
If it does happen, it's not going to be digital distribution's fault.
No, my
father owns a paper company. I'd really appreciate it if all you guys could continue to
just
buy paper.
I mean, I like the paper company
or chop down some
paper
trees.
Industry to die just so we can save some trees. But
my real last name is Mead.
But.
Nice. All right, our next one is from R.H. Coop. I'm not against electronic books at all. I love the idea of having an electronic reader that I can throw into my bag, carry everywhere, and instantly have access to as many comics as I am willing to pay for.
Here, here.
But until such a thing actually exists and is fairly cheap, in case you drop it, has as good a picture quality as paper comic books and is compatible for all major publishers, I think that we are all getting a little ahead of ourselves. I don't mind reading comics on my computer, but it is just not relaxing enough of an experience for me to completely abandon the paper.
I wish we would have read this first, and then we could have stopped doing the episode.
That's a wrap.
We're ahead of ourselves.
Fuck.
Well, no, but
we're not that far off from that.
It's a really good point. I mean, Pullbox Online, I mean, we decided to adopt something that we considered to already be a standard, but there is no standard. There's no nobody's gotten together and said, "Hey, let's make everything this one format."
Right.
You know?
Pull box.
Well, you're going to see. That. I mean, it wasn't very long before all of a sudden, you know, your iPod became the most popular, you know, music player that exists.
Right.
I mean, it didn't take that long for that to happen.
But even then, they didn't settle on the standard. They put out their own AAC format.
True, but it also played other. It also played MP3s, MP4s,
correct.
And
it could
else
also
that,
play
it
them.
Could also.
And
so that's what you're looking
kind of thing is having a reader that will play them all.
Well, yeah, like we were talking about the Sony reader. The problem with that is it only plays Sony books, and that's good for Sony. But for me, I won't buy it because I have no use for it.
Don't need all 10 volumes of how Sony is awesome.
Well, you know, I think this is a great point. Is that once they come up with a reader that you can keep 1,000, 2,000 comic books on. I think that's a great idea that you can pull it out of your backpack.
Do you really need that many?
Or even a reader. Like, say a reader.
10,000 songs on an iPod?
Say a reader you could plug like a gigabyte flash drive into and just read off of that.
And read off. Yeah, that, I think that's probably more.
You know, but just say, you know, I'm on the train. You know what? I haven't read Sin City in a while. You know, oh, I have the complete Sin City that I paid, X amount digitally for. I'm going to read, that Yellow Bastard. And it's there. And it's just because you got it on a whim while you're on the train. I feel like reading Sin City.
And then you can smug at everyone and be like,
hardware is important, but the thing is, I don't know if you've tried this yet, but like with your notebook, all you got to do is just turn everything sideways and open your notebook and kind of hold it like an open book. And it's about the same size as a comic page. A lot of people carry those around anyway.
A lot of people can't afford to spend, drop $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 on a laptop. If there's a $300 or $400 player.
The MP3 player is a popular, gadget. It's a popular thing. Sure. Did not happen until several years after, people were already using MP3s.
Once the market, once the market is there for them, they'll exist. I mean, it's not because we can't make them.
Yeah.
It's because there's no market.
I don't know if there's
a
big enough market just for comic book fans.
Right.
It's going to have to be e-books and that kind of stuff. And I hope that the resolution of the screens doesn't fall short because people are mostly just reading print and prose as opposed to graphic intensive stuff, and that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's prose people.
Scott Johnson said, "You're forgetting that the comics culture is not just an entertainment medium, but also a collector's hobby. Even readers who switch from monthlies to trades are particular the way the trade paperbacks and hardcovers look on their bookshelves, and they get upset when DC and Marvel mess with an existing format for that reason. If you eliminate the printed medium that someone can collect, you eliminate a large part of the fun of the comics hobby."
It's true.
You got it.
You do, but the same thing could be said for, albums. People used to collect albums for the album art.
I still buy vinyl. Like, when I find it cheap, because I love that big 12 by 12 picture.
But it's not going to stop. That's what I mean. It's not going to stop the majority of people from...
Well, I still think a lot of people buy CDs.
For the art.
And I think that what we've talked about...
People still buy books.
And people are still going to buy, I think, collected editions and trades. But I think what we're talking about with digital distribution is that not that it's going to hurt it, but I think... often serve as a replacement. It's going to change the monthly single issues.
That's just another way. Well, right now it's just another way of getting it. Honestly, I mean, it's going to be a year at least, 2 years probably before you see an impact. And
honestly, I am so tired of buying single issue comic books and putting them in boxes and my entire basement being full of them.
That's where I've been at forever.
I am so sick of it. I wish that I could every week download my comics and then when the trade came out, I got it and put it on my bookshelf. And if I want to go back and read it, I could. To me, that's a perfect model. Now, is it plausible? I don't know. Is it?
Could the publishers also put out shitty scans and charge a quarter for them?
Dog-eared ones.
Don't give anybody that idea because they will.
Oh, hey, I want to pause here for just a second. That post was from Scott Johnson. Two year extension on his exclusive with Marvel. So
with
congratulations,
Marvel,
congratulations, Scott.
Yeah.
All right, next post.
Rab Scuttle.
Rab's cutie.
I have given up on the idea that things won't go digital. While I enjoy the tactile feel of a book, I also work in technology.
In a world.
And see where the world is going. If you have another way to distribute the material, why wouldn't you? If people will continue to follow it, why wouldn't you save the cost and publish online? I live in Austin, where progressive / early adapter technology is the way of things. Everyone here is wired in. It's akin to Seattle, or the Silicon Valley idea in terms of culture. Because everyone is already comfortable with the internet as a delivery system, it wouldn't be such a huge change for people to get their comics through PDF or some other format. The thing is, it's only going to explode in cities like Austin, where everyone is well ahead of the curve technologically already.
Interesting how
hello
Austin
to all of our Austin listeners.
We are huge
way.
In Austin.
We have a lot of
hello, Austin.
I'm awed by that delivery method. Wow.
Hey, I think that is a great point, and it's the reason I put it in our notes here is that I think that it will go over bigger in more technologically savvy parts of the country.
Yes.
You look at rural areas where a lot of folks may not be, you know, on the cutting edge technologically.
Believe it or not, some people still don't have broadband.
Sure. Exactly. Well, you know,
in the flyover states,
you work with, you know, the internet and technology all day long. You gave me a stat like last year of how many people, what the percentage of people in the country that have broadband internet access.
Yeah, it was a huge jump over the last 3 years or something, mm-hmm. but it was somewhere in, you know, like
they started laying more lines,
45% or something of people. I mean, you know, it's basically like anyone that has cable television now pretty much. You
Is
know,
that
can
including
get broadband.
Babies? Did they include?
I don't know if they included babies in that, but yeah, I mean, it's certainly. I don't know that it's that big of a. I mean, if you look at something like iTunes and, you know, how many iPods are sold every year in this country. So I don't know that that's going to be that huge of a factor. I mean, there certainly will be parts, but, you know, I think.
Well, the thing you figure
90% of people own a home computer now. Yeah, yeah, while they all don't have broadband, you know, that's only going to increase. The number of people that do are only going to increase every year. It's only going to get bigger.
But I think I'd
wager most major metropolises probably have broadband now. And we're not talking like, you know, 100 people scattered out over 1,000 miles in North Dakota.
Right.
We're talking about, you know, several million people living in a city that does have broadband.
Yeah. Well, there's still the plan in Chicago. This is Daly's big thing, is that they're planning to make Chicago a Wi-Fi city. Mm-hmm. And so I think that
San Francisco's got that going on too with Google.
Yeah.
I think they got something.
So
watch out.
Yeah.
In a world where the internet is everywhere.
it's
what happens when your passwords get out?
The next one is from Lee Webb. I'm not really for digital comics. I really like the graphic fiction. Thanks to Dan Buckley for that terminology. Presentation as is. But if they need to expand the market, then so be it. I just hope it's set up to pay for itself. I don't want to be subsiding the digital comic.
Subsidizing,
the digital comic setup by increasing the cost of the physical books. I only read PvP as a webcomic, and if he started charging to read it, I wouldn't give a second thought about ever reading it again.
I'd say rest assured that at this point, you're not subsidizing anything by looking at digital offerings for it. Because, again, like I said this before, I mean, the stuff that's being offered now has already been in print.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already made some money. You know, it's either broken even or it's making up for it now with the digital or whatever.
And on the simplest, you know, administrative side of it, it sort of subsidizes itself because you're offsetting the cost of printing, so you have
right.
some more leeway to work with. And
I mean, there will be a little initial, like for anybody that gets started in this, there's going to be a little initial point where like it's not paying for itself or anything, but
right.
eventually it will.
Yeah, but Marvel or DC isn't going to, you know, increase the cost of books because they're going digitally. They're going to increase the cost of books because they want to make more money.
Right.
I mean,
what I think is very interesting about this post is that Lee Webb is one of our Australian listeners. And one of the things that I hear from a lot of comic fans in Australia is that comics are really expensive there. That
how much costs a ship over there, man?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
very expensive to buy individual issues of comics, and there's a delay. I mean, they're not getting them, you know, the week that we are.
It's a one day delay.
Australia
guy can't call me one day.
Okay.
I talked about 2 hours. They get the comics Thursday.
Well, Mark here at Dark Hour. So it's one day. But kind of what I was getting at is that if you're buying online comics in Australia or the UK or the Sudan, whatever, you're getting them the day that they come out. I just pulled the Sudan out of my
head. Sudan? Dude, fuck you, man. They have more problems than expensive comics there.
But I think for fans that read American comics in different countries, I think digital distribution is a huge advantage. You're probably going to get them at a much lower cost
for American comics.
Yeah, that's why.
Did you? Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't really paying attention to what you were saying.
I think I'm curious about to see like what happens and what changes with this. I mean, comics are generally licensed like in regions. You know.
Okay.
Say you're licensing from a company, right? And you license like Family Guy, right? You get it for, you know, U.S., North America, whatever. You may not get Japan. You may not get, you know, Europe. You may not get anything like that. If you're selling them digitally, how's that working your contract? Because you're not really limited to the U.S. or anything, you know?
But you would be possibly, you know, you'd probably be limited in the language you could print them in.
Printing
them
only right. You're
in
not
English.
Reprinting them in Italian. But even so, some licenses are pretty restrictive as to where you can even sell the English versions of them. You know, I mean, look at that. A couple years ago, the problems. Dreamwave and Devil's Due.
Well, you should really know the answer to this, Chris. You are, I mean...
Honestly, I don't. I mean, I'm not handling that business end of it, so I'm not really sure what that's doing.
That's your homework. Shit. Go find out.
Oh, no. But I'm talking about, like, a couple years ago when Dreamwave and Devil's Due both got in trouble because Hasbro didn't have a license to distribute in whatever country it was, or England, actually. It was Europe. And Diamond had to hold up all shipments to Europe for a while on Transformers and G.I. Joe and stuff.
Wow.
And because it was a regional licensing issue.
Wow.
And so I'm wondering,
there's
like,
definitely something there. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's going to be sort of a case by case basis.
But I think, you know, whenever they get it figured out, I think it's definitely an advantage to international comic fans.
Absolutely. John Sokol said, "I love it when a publisher gives the opportunity to sample a book for free online. I look at something like Fell Number 1, which was free online and is in its fourth or fifth printing, and I think the publishers are missing an opportunity to grow their business. Several small self-publishers have gone to publishing their books as webcomics, and then paper publishing as a graphic novel with some success. Time will tell if that model will grow."
Page
2. "Downloading comics online without the copyright owner's permission is illegal."
Thank you.
"And I've done it a few times.
Thanks.
I buy online now, and if I can't find a preview of a book on the market, I'll look for a torrent. Is that right? No. But I feel that the harm is little because I'm only doing it to see if I want to buy the book or not." I guess that's kind of almost the same as like walking into a comic book shop and flipping through a book and deciding if you want to buy it or not, to some degree.
Except, I mean, the comic shop owner is standing right there going, "You know, don't read that here. No, you go away."
Yeah. All right? You're not reading the full issue. It's a preview, that kind of
you're
thing.
You're rushed, you're whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
It's certainly not the same, but...
It sounds like John is the best, you know, best intentioned, and I have a feeling that John's a very...
John, you're
very,
a good man.
He's a good man and a good comic fan.
It's basically saying that you're putting locks on your doors to keep honest people honest anyway. I mean, the people that are going to not give up any money to support it are not going to do it anyway.
Right.
You know? They're just
you're not
going to
stop them. In one way or another, they're going to be able to do it. I think it sort of comes down, you know, to the idea that there's so many comics out there, it's like I buy a lot of comics every week. And I can't afford to buy everything that I want to check out or take a look at, or, you know, and so I rely on word of mouth or somebody I know reading it or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And if I, you know, if I could see something online, I mean, previews will tell you something if you see six issues, but, you know, there is still, you know, I think in this community, that collector mentality, that's like, yeah, you know what, if I read something online and I really like it, I will end up buying it.
And a lot of people have problems with spending money on intangible goods. You know,
yeah, I mean, absolutely.
And I think what this guy's saying is that, you know, he's using it as a method for deciding whether or not to purchase paper comics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not whether or not I'm going to buy the thing at all. It's like I'm using this to preview what I'm going to buy paper anyway.
I think it's a very viable idea because if you have a $2.99 comic, I think it's reasonable to say I'd want to know what I'm going to spend $3 on.
Yeah.
You know, that price point is so high for a lot of stuff.
Hi, my name is Tony Danza, and you're listening to Around Comics. Hi, my name is John Romita Jr., and you are listening to Around Comics.
All right. Well, we got a couple more here, but I'm going to skip ahead. So I want to thank Scott Cedarwin and Citizen Dave. Go check out their post. Dave has some great ideas. And G-Dog on the forum had a huge post that really broke down his thoughts on it. And I definitely encourage you to go to aroundcomics.com and look at our thread on this. But Trev...
And fullboxonline.com if
and
you want to see what we're talking about.
All right. Trev
Craig,
says,
I'm,
what
I'm
about
fucking
iTunes?
Plugging for you.
Thanks, man. It makes me sound not like an asshole.
He says, Trev says, what about iTunes? Part of what makes that successful, I think, is that it is also a thick client. It provides more than a means for downloading content. It also provides ways to manage, output, organize, search, view, etc. Ultimately, I think this is to be successful and really take off with the masses, you have to provide these features as well. Part of the appeal of any collection is the organizing, viewing, searching of what you have. Without that, it becomes difficult to get any audience larger than the casual reader, and the casual reader doesn't power the comics market.
You know, thinking about that is, you know, I was about two days ago, I'm redoing my basement, and I have, you know, all these boxes of comics that
I haven't organized in, you know, 2 years. And
that's a weekend.
And I pulled out like five long boxes. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get started on this. And I got about 10 comics into it. I'm like, oh, I just don't have the energy to do it. It's like, you know, what if it's like if you download your comic into a program that automatically catalogs it, I never have to organize a comic again.
Well, there's always comic base for physical comics.
Yeah, but at the same time, I still have to type that in.
Fullboxonline.com, awesome.
But you know, thinking of it in the future, you know, at some point, it's like, you know, you're going to have a collection of comics that, yeah, maybe you're not buying physically and you don't have to, you're not bagging and boarding, they're all digitally. But, and you know, if you have something like an iTunes where it automatically catalogs everything.
But that's also your player.
What happens to the bag?
It's your player, it's your purchase point, it's your...
What happens to the board companies and the bag and board companies?
Bye-bye.
Digital bags and boards, so you can virtually keep them safe.
No degradation of the file, that kind of thing.
And if you don't put them in the digital bags and boards, then they end up going into digital quarter bins.
Oh, geez. I'm going to buy them 25 years later.
That's the thing that's good right now, though, about the... There's a lot of software out there that does let you catalog and organize and view, like, thumbnails of covers and things like that.
There's even, like, online sites where you don't even have to download anything. You can just
I'm just talking about for, like, your digital downloads that the, you know, people have realized that... Again, that there's a trading market already out there for the digital files, and
that's
they've made programs to work with those.
People are making applications already.
Now, the smart companies are going to work with some of these people and maybe make it a purchase point and make it a integrated thing.
Could you email me those software? I'd be interested.
Perhaps,
in
just Google for
just for reference.
All right. Well, guys, in keeping with our promise to make shorter, easier to digest episodes, this is one that we could go on and on about. But I think
you want me to.
I know. First of all, please check out pullboxonline.com.
Yes.
I don't even have to talk.
Like
I
said earlier, it was a great online experience for me.
I appreciate you checking
really
out.
Enjoyed Hackslash.
Hackslash.
Tim will thank you for that.
And what I said earlier, I told Chris this earlier in confidence. I said, you know, the one advantage I think Pullbox Online has over some of the other stores that are out there is its interface. It's a very nicely designed site. The experience is great, and a lot of other sites that have sort of, you know, been around for a little bit or whatever, just they don't have as good a experience with it. You know, and
thanks.
So there's obviously care involved in designing it.
We're trying to make it as easy as can. We're going to be refining the system as time goes on once we figure out problem points.
If you're out and you spend like $40 a week on comic books, just go download like Hackslash for 99 cents and give it a shot and see.
Tim's going to give you a big kiss next time he's here.
See if you've never seen what the experience is like.
It's a hot book. There's a movie coming out.
Tell me, you know, like any one of us hasn't walked out of a comic shop with a book that we paid $3.99 for that after reading we went, oh, fuck, that was a waste.
Yeah.
It's like that's four books, you know, or three.
I read two of them this morning.
That's what I mean.
You never have to get it if you don't like it, or if you don't like digital comics after that. You never have to get one again.
Right, and that's the point, is making it a small outlay so that you're not risking much.
Give it a shot.
Yeah. All right.
Fullboxonline.com.
Yeah, I think thank you. I think to wrap up, I don't think that paper or the collector mentality is going anywhere, but the market is changing. Technology is going to be a part of it. And
all absolute editions and digital downloads.
Hey, that's my goal. That is my goal in life. I want to buy huge absolute editions and have DVDs filled with single issues.
There you go.
Including all the crossovers and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Just finally get execution.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much
for
adding to the conversation. I knew that we waited for this topic for a reason, and you were it.
Well, we've all been talking about it individually, you know, often, like a lot of podcasts have, and a lot of people in general have, and it's nice to talk about it with other people that also talk about it.
And please,
I talk to Mike and he just kind of goes blank.
I'm drawing.
And listen to the Crankcast, the best comic book podcast, not about anything.
Not about comic books.
Sort of like Seinfeld, by the way.
That's great talk with Jeremy Hahn a week or so.
He's a really
ago.
Nice guy.
Jeremy Hahn is great.
Didn't we drunk dial him?
Sounds awkward.
All right, guys, let's wrap this thing up. Would like to mention one of our other sponsors, the New York Comic Con.
The New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd through the 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPGs, MMOs, toys, movies, TV celebrities, and more. Guests of honor include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez,
with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests as well as show and advance ticket information, visit www.NewYorkComicCon.com. Don't miss out on the 2007 comic book event of the year.
Sucker!
We're going to be there.
Are going to be there. Yes, we will be there. Absolutely. I forgot.
Come talk to us.
We got to buy our tickets, though. We need to buy
plane tickets.
I'm going to bring quarter books with me. And the same thing that I will bring stuff back with me. So if you get to me first, I will give you a quarter book.
Wow. All
right. Hotline? Cool.
I have a lot of
the
garbage.
Hotline, 1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail just like Justin.
Hey, guys. It's Justin from Quito, Oklahoma here. Just calling to let you know I'm really enjoying your stuff. You don't have a lot of play down here in Oklahoma, but I'm hoping to change that. Guys, keep up the good work, and also when it comes to manga versus manga, I grew up calling it manga. I guess it must be a northern thing with the manga, because that's what they're calling it over at the SeanMcKeever.com forum. Anyways, keep up the good work. Talk to you guys later. Peace out.
Thanks, Justin. And also, I wanted to mention, we got a really interesting voicemail today from Steve Rude.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, which was just so cool that Steve Rude called us and left us a voicemail. And
I'm Steve Rude. I'm a comic book artist.
Yeah, so
we know who you are.
I think awesome. we may be
talking to Steve Rude soon.
All right. So, Justin, thank you very much, and thank you for making our presence known in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, Shop It Around Comics.
Shop It Around Comics, www.aroundcomics.com. You can shop our cafe press store. We can buy shirts and coffee mugs, magnets, whatever you want to buy. This is
Around Comics. Coffee mugs.
And you can also shop at our Amazon store. We now have it broken down into a whole bunch of different sections and categorized better, and you can find pretty much
anything. I got my mom to buy
Frapper.
Mom, I'm having her buy me books for Christmas, and I sent her the stuff through the
Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Awesome.
It's called playing the system, guys.
That's right. Frapper. Our Frapper joinees. Joiners. I don't know. People that joined the Frapper map this week were...
Our Frapper mappers.
Our Frappers.
Patrick from Austin, Texas. He said Rabscuttle from the forums. That's twice we've
heard. Rabscuty.
Rabscuty.
Are you sure?
This says Rabscuttle.
This one says Scuttle. The other
I wonder what
scuty.
It is. If it's
I think it's Rabscuty on the...
From the forums.
I'm thinking you typed...
Rabscuttle?
Yeah, I think it's Rabscuttle.
Let us know, Patrick.
Loving the podcast. Stupid. Keep up the good work, kids. Kids?
Keep up the... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Does he want to tell us
Mario something? Says, I'm on the Frapper... Beaches, F caters. Well, F you, Mario. Go fuck yourself.
Mario's
in Ohio, by the way. Yeah, Mario's in Ohio, so I don't feel bad.
He's from, like, South Central Ohio?
That would be Cincinnati.
Oh.
Nice. Riley Shelbrook from SK Canada. What's
Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan, okay. Yep. Says, love the show, not enough noble causes. I agree. We'll talk noble causes.
Yeah, we never have talked about noble causes. Beastie Sumter. From South Carolina. I get all giddy when I see a new Around Comics episode. Keep up the good work, guys. Well, thanks. Beastie? For a name like Beastie, you're awfully pleasant. Tom Halliday from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia.
That's all he felt
another
the need
one.
To say.
Yeah, he didn't say anything.
Another John Tai. I want a prosthetic leg as a trophy, too.
He's from Shanghai, China.
Wow.
That's picking up on the Tony Moore. And going back, the Melbourne, Australia, that's another one. That makes like eight. These guys have got to get together and have a beer, and then yeah, we have our first registered frapper in China, which is very cool.
Yeah,
Shanghai.
But Sean Hart from Brooklyn, New York. I've been with the show since episode 3. The hours wasted. Seriously, I love the show. It's on the top of my podcast stack. Get it? Podcast stack. He's funny.
What's that mean?
He's from Brooklyn. Hey,
and,
how's it going?
June Bob Kim from Longview, Texas. Hey, guys. Longtime listener of CGS and needed another podcast to fill up the iPod.
Good
great
podcast
job.
Is what he said.
Keep it up. I'm enjoying it so far. So
thank you
all of the Frapper Mappers. All right, once you join the Frapper, you can help spread the Around Comics love. You can do that in a few different ways. You can download our Listener LCS Challenge Flyer, which is on the new website. It looks great, Sal.
Thank you.
If you do, you will be mentioned on the show, just like Nova Comics in Springfield, Virginia, BuyMeToys.com in South Bend, Indiana, Dragons, Lair Comics, and Fantasy. It is...
It's Burnett Road, by the way. It was confirmed. And they're in Austin, Texas. The Source, Comics and
Games. I
agree
with that.
Falcon Heights, Minnesota. And California Cards and Comics in Elk Grove, California. All right. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of the best comic book podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. The forum, everyone, thank you very much.
You were actually amazing this week.
They were. That was a slam dunk. We knew that topic would get them going. Yeah. All right, just so everyone is aware, we try and post next week's topic on Tuesdays at the forum at aroundcomics.com. Thank you, New York Comic Con. Thank you, InStockTrades.com. Thank you, Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. But more than anything, thank you, Chris Crank, for joining us today, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
Right. I hope pullboxonline.com works out well for you guys.
Way to go, Tom. All right. Tom, Sal, as always, thank you guys. Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again next Monday with another new episode. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around
comics. Digital downloading.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Love you, baby.